Welcome to the Word for Life broadcast. My name is Pastor Steve Sowers, in for Pastor Greg Huffman. And we've been talking through Hebrews chapter 11, verse 29 through 40, looking at the guarantee of the Christian life, what it is and what it isn't. And as we've been reading through this text, we realize that what's not a guarantee is that if I live a Christian life, a life of faith, that I will always be delivered, that I will always have victory, that I will always escape, that I will always win. As we read Hebrews 11, verse 29 through 40, we see that by faith some people had victory and won, and by faith some people lived and didn't have the victory and died. Both were living by faith. So the point that we were making was that as I live, what can I expect as I live a life of faith? I can expect that, number one, there may be victory, but number two, there may be defeat. You see, God does not always work miracles and acts of providence to deliver his people by faith. Sometimes, by faith, God sustains his people through horrendous sufferings. Now, it's absolutely crucial for you to see that the misery and the hardship and the suffering that God's people sustain in several of our verses came by faith, not unbelief. The people who were slain with the sword, the people who didn't have the victory, the people who were tortured and imprisoned, they didn't have a weaker faith. They weren't being punished. Just as the people in verse 29 to 35 experienced great victory because of their faith, others were experiencing trial and death because of their faith. So if you want a text to refute the prosperity gospel, this is it. Because here are examples that are recorded for us of people who lived by faith. And in verse 37, we see that they walked around in sheepskin, not designer clothes. They walked around in goatskin, not driving around Bentleys. They walked being destitute, afflicted, tormented. They wandered in deserts, in dens, and in caves of the earth. So these people, by faith, lived this way. And sometimes we believe that because life is hard and I'm suffering and I feel tormented, that there's something wrong with me. That's not necessarily the case. Because people who live by faith endured the same things. I mean, look at the comparisons. We see in verse 35, it said, women received their children to life again, but others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. These people lived by faith too, even though they didn't escape. In verse 34, we see by faith, some escaped the sword. But in verse 37, we see by faith, some were slain by the sword. Both of these individuals had faith, but their lives ended up in different places. One lived and one died. And what I want us to understand is God hasn't planned an escape for all of us. And just because you may be suffering or having an illness or life is hard and there's difficulties, it doesn't mean that you have a lesser faith. And it doesn't mean that you did something wrong. It simply means that God has a different plan for you. We see this in Acts chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. We see this account with two very familiar biblical characters in James and Peter. And in Acts chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, we see that James gets his head cut off for living and preaching the truth. And all of a sudden, Herod loves that the people were enraged and excited about killing and cutting off James's head, that he arrests Peter. And he brings Peter into prison, and he was going to kill him the next day. So Peter's head's about to be cut off, and then we read, and when Herod was about to bring him out the night Peter was sleeping, bound by chains, soldiers were guarding him, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and the light shone in the prison. And he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise quickly, and his chains fell off. Then the angel said to him, gird yourself and tie your sandals and go. Put on your garment and follow me. What's interesting is we have James, who lived by faith, and Peter, who lived by faith. James dies, and Peter lives. James gets his head cut off. Peter's sitting in prison getting ready to get his head cut off, and an angel appears, the chains fall off, he's ushered out happily ever after. And we look at this account, and naturally, we ask questions, don't we? Internally, we say, well, why does James die and Peter get to live? And the answer is only God knows. Only God knows. Why do some people live by faith and escape the sword, and others who live by faith die by the sword? Only God knows. One is not better than the other. God does not approve of one and disapprove of the other. God just has a different plan. So we see this encounter with James and Peter. We read the encounters in Hebrews 11, and we ask questions like, oh, well, Peter must have lived because he had a stronger faith that God could actually deliver him, and James didn't have that kind of a faith. And that's not true. Well, maybe James disappointed the Lord, so he killed him. That's not true. God's plan was different for each. His purpose was different for each. And I want you to understand the same is going to be true in your life. By faith, some of you have experienced the death of a child. And by faith, some of you, your children live. By faith, some of you will have chronic illness and physical pain every day of your life. And by faith, others have never been to the hospital. Well, why? Why do some go through heartache and struggle and suffering and others find victory and great blessing? Only God knows. But what we need to be careful of is not to make the same mistake the disciples made. And when things happen in our lives, we begin to think, oh, I must have a weaker faith. That's why this is happening. Oh, I must have done something to disappoint the Lord, so that's why this is happening. That's the way the disciples were thinking, and that's wrong thinking. Faith doesn't guarantee the victory all the time. Because in Hebrews 11, we see that some people were tortured, some were imprisoned, some wandered, and some died who lived by faith. In our text, it's clear you can either receive deliverance or death by faith. Faith doesn't guarantee one or the other. So what's the application here for us? Well, here's what it comes down to. The outcome of your life doesn't necessarily determine God's approval of your life. And here's what I mean. It's easy for us to read this context and say, well, the walls of Jericho fell, God approved. The mouths of the lions were shut, God approved. Some escaped the sword, God approved. God's blessing. And that may be true, but you can't go the other direction with that thought process and say, well, God must disapprove. That's why you died. That's why you're suffering. That's why you're hurting. Because we see in our text, by faith, they died, they lost, they suffered. Well, why is this important? Well, because you're sitting here today and maybe you've been diagnosed with cancer. And God won't deliver you. But yet that guy in the cubicle next to you had been diagnosed with cancer and God delivered him. And you know what happens? As we begin to look around and we see people of great blessing and we see our great suffering and we think God must be punishing me or God must disapprove of me, and we begin to think these things. Oh, I need to have more faith. But having faith is not the ultimate determining factor in whether you suffer or escape. God is. So what motivated these believers, these Christians, what motivated them to live a life of faith that they experienced great victory and others agonizing struggle? It's found in verse 35. It says that they might obtain a better resurrection. They were empowered by a faith beyond their temporal circumstances. Their only guarantee was eternity. Their only guarantee was that in this life, God would be with them, and one day they would be with him. That is our only guarantee. They were looking to a spiritual resurrection one that didn't have an ending. Their confidence and trust was in a God who could raise them from the dead and live forever. Death had lost its sting. Their faith wasn't in escaping, winning a war, physical deliverance. Their faith was in something that would last for eternity. It wasn't on this side of heaven. It was in eternity. Their only guarantee was that as a child of God, no matter what they were going through, God was with them, and one day they would be with him. That's where their hope was. That's where they found their peace. And we read in verse 39, and all of these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. They lived their life without receiving the promise, the physical promise. But what they're experiencing now is the promise that God had made that they're enjoying now and forever. They believed God, not for a temporal deliverance, but an eternal one. We see that in the life of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When Nebuchadnezzar looked at them and said, bow down. And they said, no, we will not bow down. And if you throw us in the furnace, our God is able to deliver us. But if he doesn't, it's okay. They weren't necessarily looking for a temporal deliverance as much as their confidence was in an eternal deliverance. That's why people like Paul can say, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain, because the eternal far outweighs the temporal. You see, faith says, whether God handles me tenderly or gives me torture, I love him because he is my reward. He is the treasure beyond the riches of Egypt. He is the treasure and the possession that surpasses all other things. So you know what our challenge reveals to us is that we don't know what God has planned for us. As we live a life of faith, there may be victories, there may be defeats. By faith, some will see next week. By faith, others may not. By faith, some will endure hardship and suffering, and by faith, others may not. But we know our faith doesn't guarantee us victories all the time. And even though it may include some defeats, our faith is in the eternal, not the temporal. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16 to 18 gives us a great perspective. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. So while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The only guarantee for you is this, that no matter what you're going through, God is with you, and one day you will be with him. That's our guarantee, and I hope you find comfort in that. Thanks for joining us on the Word for Life, and have a great day.